Hello, and welcome to Gen X, Y, and I, a conversation with generations of positive people, featuring Real World Dar.
That's me.
Millennial Chris. Oh, wait, that's me. Generation Z Connor.
Hello.
And not-so-silent Bob.
I'm here.
We'll make you laugh, we'll make you think, and we'll always end on a happy note. This episode is brought to you in part by Breakwater Federal Credit Union in Houghton, Michigan. They have a special offer for our listeners. Come in for a consumer loan, mention this podcast, and they will waive the $100 processing fee. Limit one per person, membership required, and all loans are subject to credit approval. On today's episode, we're talking about that one time you put your foot in your mouth.
Ooh, it's not been one time. Let's start with that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, first I want to introduce our guest, Zier. Yeah, we're going to go with that. Connor. Welcome, Connor.
Thank you for having me, Dar.
He is one of my students at the Pablis Honors College, and I like to beat him in phase 10, so I thought it would be nice to invite him to the podcast. What do you think, Connor?
Sounds great.
All right. Good.
I'm glad you have me.
Yay. So I'm going to go first. And like I said, it hasn't been one time, but I think this is a good one. I have always been mostly in a role of a mentor, and my conflict style is problem solving. So I automatically go to problem solving. So this one young lady that has been in my life since she's 15, and I think she's definitely in her 30s now. So we've had a long-term relationship. And she called me, and she was super upset. I mean, just going off, not at me, but just talking about an issue she had. And then I went immediately into problem-solving mode. I'm like, well, you could do this, you can do this, you can do this.
That's what most people say about guys, that we do that rather than worry about feelings, right?
Yeah. So I go automatically. And so she was like, I didn't call you for that, and hung up on me. Oh. And I was like, well, dog, what happened? So I called her back, and she was like, I needed you to listen. I didn't want you to come up with solutions. And that is something that I have learned over time. That I just have to really actively listen and not go right into trying to fix it mode. And so I think that is something that I have learned. I think that happened maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, and I have learned the value of active listening, especially also being a teacher with wanting to always jump in when there's like silent or dead space, and understanding that I have different types of learners. And sometimes students need more time to process, and I have to just be comfortable with that awkward silence. So that's how I put my foot in my mouth, and that's what I learned from that experience.
I understand that silence thing from the not-so-silent Bob.
Yes. Yeah, just like you just did, Bob. No, just okay.
There was a good gap there.
Yeah, a little gap. You had a little gap there, right, Chris? So that's my foot in my mouth situation.
Honestly, like, I feel like I put my foot in my mouth like 7 times a week at least. I can count at least like 5 times this week I've put my foot in my mouth.
Was it mostly at home or in your work capacity?
A little bit of both. Okay. I feel like the act of putting your foot in your mouth can be a positive thing if you allow it to be.
That's an interesting perspective.
I have not thought of that.
Yeah. I say that as someone who is coming from the world as a very introverted person who has to push himself in order to try to be more autonomous in the world. Mm-hmm. If I did not put my foot in my mouth on a regular basis, that means I'm not pushing myself beyond my normal boundaries,
that's
and I'm not allowing myself to be discomfortable.
Yeah, that's great perspective, Chris. And I like it from the perspective of an introvert personality. Yeah.
Yeah,
I can see on the opposite side because you're much more extroverted.
Like, a little bit.
But like being able to acknowledge that you've put your foot in your mouth as an extrovert is super important.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like introverts always think like, oh, foot in mouth, foot in mouth, foot in mouth, foot in mouth.
Yeah.
Yep, I can attest to that one. Same way.
Yep.
So is that your...
Yeah, I'm just going to give a carte blanche on that one versus a very specific, because, I mean, I could just say
even just yesterday, putting my foot in my mouth.
Yeah.
Just at a work, at a social thing with coworkers.
Yeah.
Just talking over someone by accident, realizing just very quick, like, oh no, didn't mean to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So how does that land for you when you do that? Like, what do you, what's your internal dialogue when you feel like you've put your foot in your mouth?
It depends on circumstances. So like sometimes if I'm feeling strong, I can address it in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Other times I hold it for a while and I think on it and I try to, if it's something that I feel is like really bad, I will, you know, talk to the person later. That doesn't happen too often.
Yeah.
But otherwise I just kind of like mentally log it and be like, okay, Chris, don't be a jerk. Don't like take this as a lesson and, you know, it's good to push yourself, but not you went wrong there.
Yeah.
And acknowledge it.
But that's cool.
I'm trying to be better about giving myself grace.
Yes. Yeah. You said the words.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, grace. I love it.
Thank you for saying it on behalf of all of us.
Exactly. What you got, Bob?
Well, first of all, we've got to go ahead and say, otherwise, you know, we're going to be looking bad. Of course, I put my foot in my mouth many times, but I've done my best to forget about those periods.
Okay.
So I don't know what to say about foot in your mouth. You know, I mean, I wish I guess I, for now, I wish I would have remembered at least one of them. I do know one thing that I've done. My wife bought me a special T-shirt, and it, I like T-shirts with messages, but I didn't quite like this one. It says, I'm aggressively helpful.
Yes, we had a conversation last night. You were aggressively helpful. Yes, Bob. Yes. It's what we love about you, though. Yeah.
So that's one thing. The only thing I could that I remember that was sort of like foot in the mouth, I mean, it's a mistake. It was a pretty serious mistake. It happened, I'm not even going to tell you where. Well, you're going to know. So I managed the apartments here at Daniel Heights, and by accident, a personal email was sent out to every resident in Daniel Heights, and I ended up having to apologize and take it off, and I lost some sleep over it because it was not the thing to do, especially what the, I don't remember exactly what the email was about, but it wasn't good.
Oh, wow.
So that was really, yeah, that was.
So what happened? You rushed it or you copied the wrong people on the email?
Well, see, there was just, the way we had it set up is there was just basically, I just pressed one thing on the email address and it went to everybody.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
So I hit the wrong thing and it went to everybody. And you can't get it back.
Wow. Now that there is a feature now where you have about 10, you can put 10 or 15 seconds to undo it.
This was a long FYI. Time ago.
Yeah, this was like ancient times ago.
Yes.
You have to go into the settings to change that.
Yeah.
It's not by default.
No, you have to change it.
Yeah.
It's changed online because I always...
I've done that on more than one occasion, but not to that capacity. Like copied an entire class or something when it was meant to be just to the professor. But
did people look at you sideways, Bob, afterward? Or what happened? What was, how did it go?
I didn't get a whole lot of response. A few people, you know, that I knew said something to me about it. And, you know, it was embarrassing. It was the most embarrassing thing that I ever did in my professional life.
Wow.
So.
Emails. Woo.
Yes.
And plus, you know, emails, people can read them so differently depending on the person
and I guess, you know, I'm the oldest person
really?
Here, of course, so you know, one of the things that email, that whole email thing, I mean, I remember when email started, and we were told when this whole internet thing started, it's going to save a lot of time, you're going to spend a lot less time doing things because it's going to quicken things. No way.
Yeah.
It didn't do that at all. As a matter of fact, I put in more hours just trying to keep up with email.
Mm-hmm.
And I had I'm going to do it my way. I'm only looking at email once a day.
Good
luck.
Well,
my boss told me that's not going to happen.
Amen to that, Dari. Amen to that.
Yeah, I'm always thinking like when I go on a conference away for a week, I'm like, the emails don't stop. They do not stop. And oh my goodness, this is the log of emails waiting for you when you get back. So. Yeah.
Just sitting here, I know I've got three.
And three?
We're like on holiday. So how do I have three right now? I just...
They shouldn't be sending those.
No, exactly.
They should be scheduled sending them for 8 a.m. on Tuesday. That's what I do if I have to do one after hours.
Which is another feature on Google, which we use in our university. So I do. schedule the sins. Yep. So you can do that now too, Bob.
Thanks.
All right, Connor, what you got?
Well, I'm kind of going to broaden mine a little bit because
Everybody's cheating on this one.
Well, sorry. It's not. You just give it a second.
Okay, okay. I jumped the gun. Foot in the mouth. See? See how that happens?
Exactly. So I come from a theater background. I was in charge of training people to work lighting. That was my expertise.
Uh-huh.
So we were going to competition in a week.
Okay.
And I was training a kid to run the board for me and to do a few things. And then we get to a huge problem with show, like corruption of the files, et cetera.
Oh, wow.
And instead of teaching him how, I just went and did it. That's my way of, that's my problem solving. I mean, when something comes up, I just jump in and do it. I know what I'm doing. It's easier for me to explain it later than to do it now.
Okay.
I ended up forgetting to explain it later. So he calls me while I'm here my freshman year.
Wow.
And is like, I had this problem. I know you've worked through it before. How do I fix it? So I had to troubleshoot without the board there. I had to figure out how to do to explain to him
Connor
from
Chris
memory.
Is like, yeah, they're both in the theater, technical theater. So yeah. Wow.
Yep.
So you felt like in retrospect, had you trained him how to do it, he would have had the skills to do it
exactly.
in real time.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And then with that later, that competition, when we finally made it, we went to States the week I had my wisdom teeth removed.
Oh.
And I had a singular speaking line where I yelled from the back of the house in German to scare the audience. It was The White Rose. If you've heard of it, you'll know. But if not, brief overview, anti-Nazi rebellion. So I'm the Gestapo yelling in German, Halt, Sie sind Wehrhaften.
Oh.
And it's stop, you're under arrest. I couldn't yell.
Because of the wisdom teeth.
Yes. So someone else had to learn my lines for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And I like completely blanked on that.
Wow. This is good. This, Bob, we learned some really good stuff from the other generations, don't you think?
Yes, for sure.
I love these perspectives. They're very introspective.
I could say the same in the exact opposite direction.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, what's our happy note? What do you think?
It can be good to put your foot in your mouth if you let yourself savor the taste a little bit.
And on that note,
clean.
Clean feet, that, please.
That's what I call a stretch.
I know.
Thanks for listening. Please consider joining our newsletter for the most up-to-date information by emailing genxyandi@gmail.com. Also, let us know what you think of the episode and if there's anything you'd like us to discuss. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Apple Podcast, Audioboom, or your podcast platform of choice. Thanks again to our wonderful sponsors, REO Acoustics and Breakwater Federal Credit Union.